can't go any louder. Not without breaking up all over the place.
Don't you have like things I can push it in and play it directly?
I can, but it's in the car. Okay, so good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Clearly, my attempt to play music on the podcast did not go down very well.
Can I ask you who that was?
This was a band by the name of Indiphone.
Indiphone?
Yes.
Like, spelled with an F or PH?
No, PH as in the telephone.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Independent. it was a song by the name of Granddad Rap or Granddaddy Rap. The Granddad Rap is the official name of the song. If you guys don't know about Indiphone, they're very fun. They have a lot of funny songs. For instance, Andrew, you know me and my whole name thing. One of the names of the songs here is Disease Bacon. And can I tell you, the song is as ridiculous as that name sounds. So, I love it. And they're good musically as well. It's not just a novelty thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're lost. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is episode 14 that we're recording now.
That it is.
I think this is the first one which we're not doing live, because unfortunately, my internet is down.
Damn you, Michael Leachin. Why did you have to default on those bonds?
So for anyone out there who actually does listen to us live, I apologize. It's not my fault. And I just decided, instead of botching the week, to just go ahead and I'll release it online.
Someday. No, I'm just joking. Andrew has been very good with it recently. He edited 2 podcasts in the space of a week and actually put them up. I'm very proud of him.
In the space of 2 days.
Okay, 2 days. I'll give you your props where it is due.
Damien seems to be missing in action today. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
Every week we usually have a discussion topic. But unfortunately this week I had no ideas for what to discuss. Nothing interesting happened really. So...
Well, we could talk about Damien not showing up.
Alright, what do you feel about Damien not showing up?
He's a douchebag.
Okay, I think I agree with you.
Hold on.
What could discuss if you really want to?
What?
We could discuss what I was talking about on Twitter earlier today before my internet went down.
Oh, I wasn't reading but much Twitter today.
Alright, no, but what it was, right, was... It was
oh, yes,
Devindra,
you got Devin, into problems Dev, with Devin Devindra, the douche Farachi, no, didn't you?
Don't say that.
What, Devin the douche? I'm not allowed to say that?
I kid.
I don't know you, Devin, but I'm just making fun of your persona that everybody seems to make fun of.
Who was in on the conversation? It was Devindra from Slash Film, Devin Farachi from Chud, it was Adam Luau, I don't know if he writes for anyone, and there was one other person who got into the conversation. I can't remember his name right now, I apologize. And the whole conversation was about whether video games can be considered as art.
So what did you think?
Personally, I believe video games can be art. Because, honestly, let's start with making a few assumptions, right? Or at least asserting something and agreeing, right? Is movie art?
Yes.
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 What makes movie art? Movies art.
What makes movie art? It's the... You see, it's a very odd question to ask, because the reasons I give you are going to be able to be used for anything almost. But here are the reasons.
For anything that is art or
no,
anything?
No, for anything.
Oh, okay.
Because you can do what I'm about to say in anything, right? So it has to do with the... people will probably say that it has to do with the creative nature of the medium. It has to do with the fact that with film or with whatever else you'd like to consider art, you can express yourself, express your thoughts, and show a little piece of you in your work. I really am not the best person to ask this question.
Yeah, you're not a big video game guy.
No, it has nothing to do with video games or whatever. I'm talking about the art question.
Well,
but I mean, it's... It has to do with the personal nature as well of the process. You know, it's essentially what I think most things can be considered arts if you do them with doing them with passion. That sounds so cheesy.
I kind of know what you mean. When you do it with an intention, rather with an underlying intention, and you do it for an artistic sake.
Yep. Circular.
Yes, I am being somewhat circular.
But no, I understand what you're saying, and you're trying to get what I'm saying out too. Yes, if you have like some sort of... It's not like an everyday job for you. For example, I have a job that has a lot to do with Excel spreadsheets. I don't think what I do is art, because I don't pour myself into my Excel spreadsheets.
And at the same time, that's why when some people try to disprove movies as art, and they try to bring up things like, oh, if it's art, then what do you call a Brett Ratner film?
It's just bad art is all it is. But no, you're quite right. It's a good thing. A good point. But personally, I think anything can be art as long as there is, as I say, some cheesy-ass passion behind it. So you're doing it, you know, because of this passion that you have. And I keep going around in circles. I can't get my idea out, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I hope that everybody outside understands.
All right, I don't think you've actually said it out loud, but what is your position? Is video game an art? Should video games be considered an art, or should they be considered whatever?
Me personally, I think that video games, sure, they can be art, of course. Why not? You see, I think the question is not, can something be art? The question is more, can something not be art? Because I think more things are art than people give credit for.
Like what?
Like Excel spreadsheets. Like, you know, a block of wood, not just for... not just carving a block of wood into a statue, but carving a block of wood into a pillar for a house can be art. It's all about, you know, the process. And I'm done. I don't know. I have not much to say on this thing. But yes, I remember you were telling me earlier that Devin definitely did not think it was art.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't think it's art.
And what did he say? Why did he not think it was art?
Due to the internet being down, I can't read it off.
Yeah, but paraphrase.
Right? But I think, if I remember correctly, his general idea was it isn't art because... Wait, hold on. I don't even remember what his argument was. Because I think just as circular as you're thinking I sound right now, uh-huh, he was even worse. Well, right? In the point that he was more or less, whenever you don't have an idea but you want to just force me into a spot and you say, no, the question isn't, is it not art? The question is
actually,
is it
no,
art?
That's that. I never meant that in a bad way. I actually meant
No, no, I don't mean what you said right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean sometimes when we have arguments, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'll state something and I'll say, why don't you disprove what I said? But you'll be saying, no, it's not my point to disprove it. It's your point to prove it. And I think, and 90% of the times I believe it's just because you have nothing to say and you just want to push the ball into my court, you know? But, alright, my personal position is that I think video games are art. There's bad, there's good, there's mediocre art in every fashion of art. You know, there's in painting we have the Van Goghs and we have the Mocks, which people who just sit down on the side of the curb doodling and hope to their god that they can get a job when they don't know in the back of their mind that they really suck at what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Some people even pay for bad art. I mean, 12 Rounds just came out the other day. Right? There are tons of examples of that. And video games, I think, have more examples of bad art. And I don't want to say that the video game itself is bad, because there are certain games like a lot of shooters out there which are repetitive, they're boring, they're ripping off the same idea that came before. And that's bad in the sense that it's been done, but that's something that we do in movies every day of the week.
Exactly.
You know, and every once in a while, you know, hopefully we can get
some real
15 emotion. Movies in a year, yeah, which are like, which people can look at and be like, that was not necessarily perfectly original, but so but had something unique about it.
Yeah.
That gets us, that makes us like what we do, or like what watching movies, right? And that's the same thing with video games. Every once in a while comes along one video game which is so, which has something unique about it, that for people who love video games is why they end up loving video games. One of them which I loved so much was that game that we used to play younger. It was Full Throttle.
From LucasArts.
From LucasArts. And also The Grim Fandango, which was from LucasArts.
Oh, I don't know
well.
That one, but I remember that the best part, I thought at least, about that game, not Grim Fandango, but Full Throttle, was the fact that the voice for the brain was in it. As in Pinky and the Brain, by the way, for all of you guys that don't realize what I'm talking about.
Oh, can I tell you, when you said the brain, I thought of the brain from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, no, that's Krag.
Yeah, but he's a brain.
No. His name is Krag. I believe it's Krag, at least. Correct me, somebody, if I'm wrong. But when I say the brain, I'm talking about the brain. As in Pinky and the Brain. Da-dun-da-dun-da-dun.
What are we going to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. But it's Pinky that says that, so it's in the high voice that you're supposed to do it.
What are we doing tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky.
I just realized I did the perfect voice. Are you having a laugh?
Or it could be the voice for I do lady things. I'm a lady.
No, but that voice intentionally needs to have some deep in it, so that you know it's a man even before he takes off his clothes for the drawing, for the nude art.
And then he makes a phone call and says, Charlie, tell mommy that daddy's in the jail wearing women's clothing.
I actually never finished watching that series.
Neither did I. I finished watching it, but I didn't ever get to watch most of the episodes that I missed. Remember when I went to China?
Yeah.
I missed a lot of
you
the...
You bastard, you had to go to China.
Yes, but I missed all these stuff. I missed Dexter, which I caught up on. I missed True Blood, which I caught up on, but I did not catch up on.
You forgot to set the DVR.
I know, damn it.
You set it for True Blood, Dexter, but you forgot.
But not for Little Britain.
I have no excuse, I just... couldn't bother. Right. Some examples I'd like to give for video games that I think are particularly special.
For it, by the way.
Waiting for what?
You know exactly what I'm waiting for.
What are you waiting for?
You'll know when you say it.
One of my favorite genres when I was growing up was RPGs. Right?
RPGs, yes. Very good.
I love the Final Fantasy
Chrono Trigger
series. I love Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger is one of the best RPGs that was made for the Super Nintendo.
I've beaten it
like 3 times. I love that game. There's
Dragon Warrior. Did you like that one?
I know I don't beat the game on the list. We took it out. We should probably fix it up and back on the Dragon Warrior and try and beat that game. It was Dragon Warrior 3 we had.
Oh, it's 3 we have? I thought it was 2.
No. Is it 2 or 3?
Whatever we have, it's awesome. It don't matter.
I think it's 3.
And I remember I wanted it because they used to have this cartoon of Dragon Warrior on the Saturday morning cartoons.
They did?
Yes, they did. And that's why I thought it was so great. I was like, ooh, Dragon Warrior, the game.
And I mean, for all the gamers out there, everyone knows Mario Brothers.
Oh,
like,
yes. But those...
How can that be not considered art?
RPG.
Going back to the...
I'm just saying RPGs.
Okay, all right. I just diverted from the RPG. It's more of an
arcade game.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Right? I'm sorry, I kind of got lost. I didn't mean to just break it up like that. But yeah, okay. I'm leaving the RPG area, you know. Some other games that I think should be considered art, Mario Brothers, and I'm talking more about the original than all the 5 billion
fantastic.
Seeds.
But a lot of the 5 billion seeds are amazing, though.
They are amazing.
Mario Brothers 3 for the Nintendo was spectacular. Almost all the Mario Kart
Super
games
Mario
are good.
Brothers. The first one that came for the Super Nintendo?
Oh, is that what it was called?
It was...
I thought you were saying the first one, and I was like...
Oh, yeah, wait, the first one in Super Mario Brothers, the The one for Yoshi. The first one to have Yoshi.
No, that's not All Stars.
No, it was the one that was on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it might be called Super Mario Brothers.
Mario 64.
Mario 64 was amazing. I love that first game.
Mario Kart.
Yes. And many of the derivatives are still actually fun.
Due to Mario and Nintendo, we got the fighting game that people love.
I hate that game, though.
I liked it.
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers. I enjoyed that. Even though I wouldn't consider that art, it's an enjoyable game.
You know, what's wrong with it being art? Somebody expressed themselves through that thing.
We already have Virtual Fighter.
But, you see, that's the thing, right, Andrew? If you're saying... no, you're right. I'll shut up.
No, I'm curious. What were you going
to
say?
No, I was about to say something that totally, completely contradicted what I said before. So, no.
So, question. Is what you said before wrong, or whatever you were about to say wrong?
No, I believe that what I said before was right. That's why I stopped for a second, thought about it, and realized that I was not right to say what I was about to say.
Okay. Another game which I think is wonderful is Metal Gear Solid.
There you go! That's what I'm waiting for. You knew it. You knew I was waiting for that
And
one.
That game should
the
be
Damian
considered
Damian comes
art.
Out of you immediately. Right?
If I could, I'd have a PS3 and be playing MGS4 right now instead of doing this stupid podcast. Another game which hopefully we'll talk about in a little while, Shadow of the Colossus. I have it. I love it. I mean, I've only beaten like 3 or 4 monsters so far, but it is an amazing game. It is a cinematic game.
It's a cinematic revolution.
Some might say that. And I know of one person which probably would.
Who's that?
Well, you know, I don't want to name names.
Damien? I didn't think that was who you were going to say, but okay.
Damon would totally say this.
Yeah, Damon.
Zelda is a wonderful work of art.
Yeah.
And all of these games I'm listing are things that I consider art, because everyone in their own right did something different, right? And, I mean, just like film, I mean... I revere Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm sure if Devin Faraci was here, he'd smack me in the face and tell me why haven't you seen the 1948 classic, this, which is what Tarantino ripped off all the while. So I'm sure when I name some of these games, you can go back further to find what originated the genre or that style of game or whatever. But this is what I know. You know, this is what I love, right? Zelda, like, there hasn't been a Zelda game which hasn't been amazing. Even the one that was on the 64, Ocarina of Time, and there was another one which people didn't hear about until later, and I didn't find out about later, called the Something Mask. And the whole point of it was you had, like, 3 days to complete the story. And you had, and it was after the Ocarina of Time, and you were able to manipulate time using the Ocarina, right?
So it's basically the Ocarina of Time part two.
No, but there were certain parts where, like, you had to go towards the end of the time period.
Yeah.
So you were basically on the clock to finish what you were doing in order to go back before the world ended and you lost the game and stuff. and it used the same kind of ideas of Ocarina of Time, and it was just as enjoyable.
Right. I see. Okay.
So, this is me saying, yes, video games, I think, are art.
And I agree with you, but I agree with you in a more general form that I think most things are art. Most things, like I said, most things that are done from, like, the depths of someone's soul. And I know I'm sounding like this cheesy, corny, like, soul-patched, fedora-wearing guy, but... I do believe that.
I think you should do the soul patch thing. It'd be funny.
I don't think so.
and also, like, when someone tells me about art, as I said before, it has to do with what the person intended and how they go about it. Kind of like what you're saying. But one thing that I definitely have to point out that I think pushes it has to be style and tone. Right? films, every film has a style and a tone. Every filmmaker has a style and a tone. There's some which their style and tone is none. Kind of like my friend Brett Ratner.
But hang on. If they have a style and tone that is none, doesn't that mean that they have no style or tone?
However, if you would like to bring in my theory of computation thinking, right? No, I won't do that tonight. That's going to be too much. I don't know. My course is like taking over my head. Yes, technically they have no style or tone.
That's true. They do have a style and they do have a tone. You just don't think it's worth
it. It's just generic is what it is.
There you go. Sure, if you say it's generic, it's generic. There are a million Monet wannabes out there, but only one Monet. And honest. So the rest of them are generic, and he is the real deal. And it's the same thing with Brett Ratner. I'm not saying this, Andrew said this. The same thing with Brett Ratner. You know, he is trying to copy off of whoever you think he's trying to copy off of. And, you know, that's his style. He is a copy artist, if that's what Andrew is saying.
I didn't say he copied. I'm saying that he's being generic. He's using filmmaking 101. He's not going outside of the box, which some of our favorites, like Michel Gondry, do all the while.
Yeah. Like, and sometimes he falls flat on his face, which is fine by me.
But at least he goes out there.
Exactly. You know? I mean, I'll be the first person to tell you I despised Be Kind Rewind. I thought it was awful. And at the same time, it had two of my favorite things. It had Michel Gondry, and it had Mos Def. Oh, it's like, you know, one-on-one clearly did not make two in this scenario. But he tried something, and it just didn't work out, and he fell flat on his face. But guess what? I like that, because that means that the next time he tries it, it won't be so bad. Or I hope so. And he will learn from it. He will make, you know, all the adjustments he needs to make. And then he will come up with something spectacular. Maybe not with the Green Hornet, though you never know. but with something that he does further on down.
Right, so when I say generic, I just mean he's not trying anything to identify himself from the masses.
No, I understand, but what you don't realize is that's the same thing as copying. If he's doing what everybody else is doing, he's copying everybody else.
But who's everyone else copying from? You know, chicken and egg.
No, it's not chicken and egg. It's the first. You know what's a great explanation of this?
What?
Have you ever watched a movie by the name of The Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
Do you remember when Anne Hathaway went into the office with Dragon Lady, Meryl Streep?
Dragon Lady.
Yep, Dragon Lady.
I didn't like that movie.
Nor did I. But it had a good explanation for what you're calling generic. Do you remember when she was picking out all of these new clothes, and Hathaway is just like, oh, this is so lame, la 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 la. And Meryl Streep gave this very poignant monologue about how she remembers the first time she saw, I believe it was Oscar De La Renta and his clothes, and she picked that exact sweater and said that it would be for the fall of 95 or whatever. And then it went from Oscar De La Renta to, you know, department stores to this, and it trickled down until it became a generic sweater, and that's what she's wearing today. That is the explanation of generic. It's not chicken and egg. There was a chicken. You just may not have known the chicken because he was way back when.
I concede. Point Douglas.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so that was more or less an impromptu discussion.
No, it was, but listen, who cares?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be discussing impromptu things. If things are not impromptu, then how do they not, you know, get our essence? Who we are from this show, and that's what we are selling. That's what we are giving to these people. We are giving them us and nothing more.
All right,
again, I'm talking crap out of my ass.
One thing else I wanted to discuss is the season, the first season of Diablo Cody's United States of Tara just finished, and we've seen the entire season now.
Yes, we have.
I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
I am of one mind on this. I was about to say two, because what happened with me and this television show was that I saw it and I saw the premise from the beginning. I looked at the premise and I said, okay, we've got a not schizophrenic, a multiple personality disorder, excuse me, happening with this lady and her family dealing with that. And I thought that would be lame. I decided that this was going to be a pretty bad show. But I gave it a chance. The only reason I gave it a chance was that Showtime had actually come up with some good stuff. Showtime gave me Dexter. Showtime gave me Weeds. And Showtime gave me the granddaddy of them all, Californication. Well, I shouldn't call it the granddaddy because I think Dexter's a little bit better. But I could watch Californication way more. I'll tell you that from now.
Okay.
But, so Showtime has begun to start with their good track record. I really was never a huge fan of their shows before. So I gave this a chance. And the first episode, I watched it and I thought to myself, well, this wasn't horrid. It wasn't bad. It was actually kind of okay. So I'll give it another shot. And I watched the second episode. And then I watched the third and the fourth. And with every new episode, I got more and more hooked. And now I'm glad to say that I am a fan. I really enjoyed the show. And it was, you know, great. I love the characters, the interaction. I liked the way that they played the disorder that she had. That everybody was dealing with it. That it wasn't just, you know, this lady's crazy. It's just that she has this problem. We're trying to deal with it. It's not, maybe not working the way you want it to work, but we have to persevere. We have to keep going. And you can't just ostracize her or put her in a crazy bin or, you know, show her up as this just plain old crazy lady. You try and work with her and try and, you know, handle it. And it's fun that even, for example, her daughter takes advantage of T, the one of the
the teenage version.
Yes, one of they call them the alters. One of the alternate personalities, and it's, as Andrew says, the teenager. She's supposed to be 16, who, by the way, is in this, you know, 40-something-year-old's body. And, you know, they get weed all the time and max out her mom's credit card, and it's fun. But I enjoyed the show. I really did. What did you think about it?
I think I was hooked from the first episode, right? And I especially got connected to the son.
Oh, Marshall?
Marshall. I thought he was just one of those eccentric characters that you get to see in certain these kinds of shows.
Yes.
Kind of like with Weeds and Andy. The son. No, the son.
Screw the son, man. Andy's the man in
that show. Well, Andy is a... I'm not denying Andy being an awesome character, but the son in that show is such an interesting and quirky character that you get to enjoy every now and again, which is the same thing with Marshall in United States of Taro. And one thing that I enjoyed most about him was his love for art. You know, he was the one child in, he was the one person in the house when T had to go on a rampage. Instead of, they would like turn up music so that people didn't have to hear her, in the neighborhood didn't have to hear her. Instead of being the regular teenager who would turn up Flo Rida, right? He went and he was like, alright, it's a Billie Holiday night tonight. And he would turn up the Billie Holiday and it'd be amazing. And I think I made him my favorite character from, I think it was the second episode, when in his room we got a glance and he had up a poster of Dr. Caligari.
No, you know when he became probably my favorite character?
When?
When, and I'm not going to spoil this for many people, this is...
No. If you want to, we'll just call up spoilers.
No. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm going to tell you something and you're going to understand exactly what scene I'm talking about. But it does have something to do with something that could spoil the show. But it was when he was lying very contented in the front lawn on the lawn chair. I thought that, you know, tipped him over the edge for me. That made him probably my favorite character.
That is an amazing scene.
Yes.
And what happens to bring that scene is just so amazing. Like, you just feel like, oh my goodness. You know? Which is something that I think these shows do so often. These shows that we've... HBO, Showtime do all the while. They build up, you know, 10 episodes in, and then they smack you in the face with an, oh my god. And then they spend the next 2 to 3 episodes, you know, taking you back down, you know. And it's amazing. I mean, as you've named shows like Californication and... What was...
Dexter and Weeds. Those are the big Showtime shows. Honestly, I know a lot of people like it, but I don't like Tudors. I really don't. I've tried to watch it, but all it is John Rhys-Meyers, who I hate anyway, and porn. That's all it is.
I actually haven't watched any of it based on
I've watched a couple of episodes. It's not that good.
But right now I'm watching Kings. The new NBC series with Ian McShane.
That's just because you've got a man crush on that dude.
I agree, I do. And that's why I started watching it, and I love it. Even though it looks like the show might just end up cancelled really, really soon. By the way, it's been going on. No, it's not that nobody likes it. It's like one of my other favorite shows, which I caught on late, Pushing Daisies. Nobody's watching it.
I see.
Right? Apparently, they've moved it from... they've moved it to Saturday night now on TV, which is like a dead spot for TV.
Oh, it has to be, because
that's when people are gone out to go and watch movies or whatever.
Yeah, and if you are home, you're watching SNL. Then again, SNL is on NBC, so maybe they're hoping that you stay, if you're staying home and you're going to watch SNL, you watch it.
So now I have to reset the DVR.
Yeah. Damn, bastards.
But yeah, hopefully it won't die, because it's really a really interesting show. It balances politics and drama in the country. And it gives you a slight future look at the world, you know? Like, what if in the future we went back to the world of king and queen and royalty and all?
Oh, wait, sorry. Is it really about royalty?
Well, Ian McShane plays the king of a country. But it's not necessarily entirely about the royalty in the country. It's about the country on a whole.
And is it like new royalty or... Well, I shouldn't say new. Modern royalty in the sense of royalty in present day. Or is it royalty back in, you know, the 1700s? When you were His Majesty and courts and all of that crap.
It's a mixture, because we're dealing with the future where, you know, people aren't taking their... curtsying before the king or whatever. But... It's more or less suits and ties and people acting like politicians, but in the end he's like, I'm the king and you do what I fucking say.
I see. So it's in the future then?
It's in the near future. It's not like Terminator future.
Oh, okay. I see. I get you.
It's definitely a cool show, and I think you should try and give it a try.
I guess.
Alright, but that's enough for that, unless there's anything else you wanted to discuss.
What else do I want to discuss? I mean, I could discuss the fact that I'm very upset that I'm extremely behind in Testies. I love that show. Testies is hilarious on FX. I'm also extremely behind on my other FX love. You know which one that is, right?
Which one?
It's Always Sunny in...
I totally skipped out the last season.
Yeah, I watched the first half of the last season and then I stopped.
I haven't watched one episode. I'm going to get on it soon.
No.
like now that I have the long weekend, I'm sure I'm going to spend like 10 hours just like whoosh.
4-day weekend. Yes, I'm so happy. I hopefully won't have to work on the weekend. I think I probably will, though.
All right. Anyways... Since there's not much else to discuss...
Wait, hang on. You know what I do want to discuss?
What?
Do we have internet back?
Yeah, we have internet.
Yay, we have internet back. Okay, we can discuss something else now.
All right, well, while you're searching for something, I'm going to announce a news item, right?
Yeah, come on. Shadow of the Colossus. I know that's number one. I saw that on your list.
Since you just brought it up, fine. I wasn't going to announce
good,
that
Good,
don't
one. Announce it, because I don't want to talk
but,
about it.
Shadow of the Colossus is apparently being adapted for the... big screen, and like how we just spoke about video games being art, and how I even just spoke specifically on Shadow of the Colossus and how cinematic it looked. Like, what do you think of this? I mean, we've had prior discussions about video games becoming movies and how they all suck, but...
Well, you have to kind of temper that a little bit. We've had discussions, and you've said they all sucked, right? I am of the opinion that the movies that I have seen that are based on video games so far really have not been that good, but I don't see why they can't be good. I don't see why somebody can actually gather the main points from a video game and make it into a plausible, well, maybe not plausible, I guess it depends on the type of game, but a good movie. I don't see why that can't be done. I really don't. So I can't say to you, Shadow of the Colossus is going to be crap. I can't say to you, Shadow of the Colossus is going to be amazing. What I can say to you is, we'll see. Personally, I've played the game. It's an okay game to play every once in a while. But I don't think I could play it very often because it's very... There's not much interaction in it. No, I shouldn't say it that way. Erg. There's not much...
Story?
Not story, but... You know how in most games, you feel like you're playing all the time?
Yeah.
You don't feel that way, or I don't feel that way when I play this game.
You feel like you're just watching something happen.
No, not just that. What happens is whenever you get to a monster, you feel like you're playing a game. And then there's all that in between, and you're just searching for another one.
Well, I mean, as I said, I've only played it around, I think, halfway through, but... It doesn't take that long to get to monsters, so it's not like you're spending half an hour galloping across the plains.
Yeah, I know.
And then only to do a 2-minute monster fight.
I know, but it's just, it's a bit frustrating sometimes. When you are playing this part of the game, which is killing the monster, which is pretty fun. I'll give you that. That's fun.
That's awesome.
And then you're like, okay, what am I going to do next? And there's nobody to tell you what to do next. And you're like, well, I guess maybe I should shine this sword in the light and see where to go. And then you just go there. And then you start over from, you know, the beginning.
But then there's the other end of the scale, which is a generic version of what that game is. Which is where instead of having just go to the monster thing, what they'd usually do is they'd have 5 billion stupid regular enemies in front of you just for you to press X and keep slashing like God of War. Mm-hmm. Which... is fun, uh-huh. Right? And I love that game. But Shadow of the Colossus was just something different and gave me something that, you know, you always wanted. Stop bogging me down with this rubbish of having to deal with 5,000 people who I kill without half of a button tap, right? But just send me to the boss fights, which is what I always love in the end anyways.
I don't know. You see... I understand what you're saying, and I, you know, that's your opinion, but I just think that it's good to have a complete gameplay experience where you don't feel like, you know, okay, I've done, this part is a game, now I have to get back to the game part. That's essentially what I feel about this game. So I like, you know, games where it doesn't have to be mindless, because mindless games are usually... either really fun or really crap. Mm-hmm. Right? But it just has to have some level of... I have to feel like I am in the game all the time, as opposed to being like, in the game. And then I'm done, and my only no option is I have to just kind of walk around for a while.
Alright. Alright, question number 2. What do you think about them adapting this to a film, and do you think are its chances, honestly... You said you've played it for a short while.
Yeah.
Do you think that concept will go well into film?
I think it could.
Do you think they're going to try and change it into the generic video game version where they have 5 billion little people in the way and...
Possibly, but what I think they're going to have to do is add something that I like to call a script.
A plot? Hey, Wall-E did amazing.
I know, but there... No, well, that's... That's your opinion, again. but
and that's why it's right.
I think Devin might have a couple of things to say about that. I know this is not the first time that you've crossed this path. Anyway, no.
I'm like looking back on tweets now.
I know. I see you there, and I notice you have his own little, you know, timeline going, looking for what he said about you. But what I think they're going to have to do with this game is they're going to have to add a couple of characters. They're going to have to make... They're probably going to make it into a story where what it is that, you know, this village or this... This kingdom or this realm of lands are plagued by all of these monsters, and then there's going to be this one guy that decides, you know what, I'm not taking it anymore, I'm going to go fight them. And then he fights them, and he finds maybe people help him along the way to say, oh, the monster's over there. and you know, he goes to a village, and the villager says, thank you, we will give you our virgins and our blankets, or something.
You right? sound but like I you're think... taking the thoughts of Monty Python or something. But I'm going to stop you for a second. You mentioned how they're going to change the plot to give him a reason to go and deal with these monsters, right?
Yes.
There already is one.
What's that?
It's in the beginning of the game, in that whole cutscene, which I'm sure you skipped.
I most of the times, unless it's horribly long, which this almost was, I don't skip the cutscene the first time I play it.
Right? Where what happened was he was bringing the girl who was dying or died, I can't remember, and he went up to the temple and put her down and was like, I know there's supposed to be some demon god or whatever here who can bring her back. And the god comes out and attacks him, and he defends with his sword, which is like some magic sword or something. And the god decides, okay, I will bring her back to life if you go and destroy these 9 monsters for me. I can't remember the number, right? And that's why he runs off to go and deal with the monsters.
I don't remember that part of it.
And you have the shadow things coming out of the ground.
I remember him like walking... Or not walking, riding. Like,
so they have a reason for him to be going.
It's very thin, though. It's very, very thin, Andrew. It's essentially it's enough story to make the game playable.
Yes, and get to the point.
Exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying, right? They need to make that a little bit more palatable for the screen. That's what I think, and I think they're going to do something along the lines of what I said. And I actually forgot about that princess or lady or whatever. So I'm sure that they're gonna. They're gonna keep that in somehow, but it's gonna, if they make it into a regular type movie, they'll do something along the lines of what I was saying, I think.
Okay.
By the way, you know what I want to talk about?
What?
Are we finished, by the way?
Yeah.
I want to talk, not, you know, in depth, but what do you think about Year One and its rating?
Year One? Well, they said it got rated R, right?
Yes, it did.
Meh. I expected it.
Okay. Now, can I say that I'm going to be a little bit upset about it?
Why?
Because they weren't trying for an R rating.
So, it's essentially a PG-13 movie that got an R because Judd Apatow's name is attached?
Maybe not because Judd Apatow's attached, they had a couple
extra dick jokes in there?
Yeah. Apparently, they say it's rated R for some sexual content and language. I think those are the two things.
You think they'll recut it?
I don't think so. No, sorry. I know that they won't because... Well, no, I don't. I know that somebody wrote that they said they won't. But I don't like that. Because what's going to happen? It's an R-rated film. Well, I would be fine with a PG-13 rated comedy. But if I'm going to an R-rated comedy, I want it to be R-rated. I don't want it to be like Slumdog where I watch it and I think to myself... Tell me why this got an R rating again. You know? And yeah, I understand why Slumdog got an R rating. The torture was a bit much for young little kiddies. But at the same time, Year One, I'm going to be watching Year One and I'm going to hear maybe one shit and a couple dams and a hell. And then I'm going to look at it and I'm going to say, why is this R-rated?
And then you'll see one scene where they get stoned.
Yeah, exactly. Some foolishness like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be like, come on. This was not what I wanted to watch. I did not come to an R-rated comedy to see a PG-13 film. Right?
Well, so, I mean, if it's the case, as you say, that they were shooting for PG-13, then yeah, it kind of sucks because in the bottom line, what it's really going to hurt, I mean, it won't hurt me because I'll get to watch it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll get over it in the first 15 minutes of the film. I'll be like, oh, that's what it really is. But what it'll really hurt is the box office.
Actually, will it? Remember now, you know whose name is attached.
Yeah, but...
Judd Apatow is attached. How many Judd Apatow films have been rated PG-13? None. How many Apatow films did well? Every single one of them. Okay.
Is it him directing or producing?
No, he's producing. Harold Ramis directed this one. Okay. The only PG-13 I think that he did was Drillbit Taylor.
No, but he produced that
exactly,
one.
But honestly, Andrew, most of his movies he only produces. He's directed like two.
He's directed 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and now Funny People.
Okay, that's not out yet. It doesn't count. Okay, he's directed two movies. He's attached to a lot more. But all of his movies are R-rated. All of his movies do extremely well. So an R-rating will not or should not hurt his type of movie. What it does is it builds up this sort of expectation, and then it mashes it down.
All right, just for our own personal thing.
What, he directed
Harold Ramis. Oh, Harold Ramis, uh-huh. The director of Year One, also directed The Ice Harvest, which was rated R. But we can say that movie was intentionally R.
Is that the one with Billy Bob and John Cusack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? According to IMDb and Box Office Mojo, its budget was $16 million estimated, and it grossed overall $8.8 million.
Yeah, but this is a movie with John Cusack. He really hasn't been a big box office draw for a long time now. He is for me. I love him. But at the same time, I wouldn't go to watch a movie with him. The last movie that I went to and paid money for that he was in was Identity. And I was in college at the time, which makes it at least 6 years ago.
All right, well, on the other hand, another movie he directed,
I didn't realize he directed this movie.
The Harold Ramis, which was in 2002. It ended up grossing $32 million, and that was PG-13.
No, yeah, but you can't look at it like that. Andrew, mm-hmm. The audience is there. Judd Apatow's name is attached. The audience who went to all the other Judd Apatow movies are going to watch this one.
So you don't think Harold Ramis comes into the equation?
Harold Ramis will come into the equation. He's a funny guy.
No, I'm talking about box office draw.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. He's a funny, funny guy. People love him. He's Egon, for Christ's sake. For example, you just pulled up one of his best movies, I think. One of my favorite from him, at least, Groundhog Day. And I'm sure that didn't do extremely well at the box office, but man, oh man, DVD sales must be jumping. But he has his own audience. What?
So, I'm looking at the Groundhog Day, and according to IMDb and Box Office Mojo, it cost 14.6... No, wait, sorry. It grossed $70
million. 70? That's great, actually, for that kind of a movie.
And that's in 1993.
Yeah. So I guess I get, points deducted from my score for today's show for not knowing that. But, like I say, Harold Ramis has his audience. Judd Apatow has his audience. It's not going to do badly.
And Michael Cera is has in his this audience.
Movie. Jack Black is in this movie. David Cross is in this movie. Who else? Who is not in this
Paul
movie?
Paul Rudd is in the movie.
Exactly. Who is not in this movie?
I was about to say something stupid, but I'm going to stop.
What's that?
I was about to say when last was Michael Cera in an R-rated film, but then I just remembered Superbad.
Superbad.
You know, the film for Michael Cera.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I personally go like meh to the R rating because I've gone past the age of looking at what a movie is.
Oh, no. Me too, but at the same time,
it kinda
if you expect
sucks.
Something and you don't get what you expect, what's going to happen, I think, is a lot of people are going to be disappointed. And not because it's a bad movie. Well, maybe. Jack Black is in the movie, so you never know. But not because, it's an awful movie, but because it lets you down. When you go to an R-rated comedy, you expect something and you're not going to get it in this one. I don't think, at least.
Alright, another news item that I'd like us to discuss, I don't know how much we're going to get to because you're not much of a fan of this, is that Mandalay has apparently acquired the Full Metal Panic for screen adaptation.
Okay, can I go first?
Go first.
I'd like to repeat your sentiments on the last one and say, meh.
Well, I have to say, meh. Mainly because I didn't really like the series. I saw the anime. What I did like was they had this spin-off anime for it called Full Metal Panic Fumufu. And it was basically an ultra corny, ultra ridiculous, funny version of it, where every 2 seconds they had to have a joke, and it was wonderful to watch. And apparently they cut the season, they cut the series short because there was a bomb threat on the studio at the time.
Oh, what? Are you serious?
Serious, and it never got finished. So I think there are only like 15 episodes for Fumufu. But there really should have been 26.
Okay.
Full Metal Panic, on the other hand, is a proper serious mech anime manga. I've never read the manga, but I watched the anime mainly because of my love for Fumufu, and I was thoroughly disappointed. And it might have to do with the fact that I'm not much of a fan of mech animes. I mean, I don't even like Gundam that much.
What? You don't like Gundam?
There hasn't been one version of Gundam that I've liked.
I watched Gundam and I was like, oh, big shiny machine. It's fun.
The only mech anime that I've watched recently, which I love to death, is Code Geass.
Oh, what? Not even Bubblegum Panic or whatever the hell?
Bubblegum Crisis?
Bubblegum Crisis, yeah.
I'm glad I only spent $200 on that DVD.
Whatever. I remember when you first watched it, you were like, this movie's kind of cool. I'm going to try and find it. And then you couldn't
I was being like, you know, the completist. Like, I found something, I started it. I'm like, I kind of want to finish it, even though it's kind of bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just personally have no opinion on it because it's not something I really, you know, care that much about. So, there's that. But you know what I do care about? Well, I don't care about it, but I think it's a little bit funny, is that Kumar now works at the White House.
Hey, that's a bit racist, calling him Kumar.
Yes, it's very racist calling him by a name that he was called in a movie. You know, Harold and Kumar.
So?
That's what he is now. He is Kumar.
No, his name is Cal Penn.
No, it's not. It's Kumar. Maybe his last name is Penn, but his first name is Kumar. Cal is probably his middle name.
Well, I'm calling him Cal Penn.
Okay.
All right. One thing that I found hilarious was I saw this article yesterday on wearemoviegeeks.com. And
OMG. Yeah.
When I brought it up, I showed it to a bunch of my friends who are all fans of House. I'm not a huge fan of it. And they were all angry at me because it basically spoiled the fact that he
gets
dies.
Killed off, yeah.
which happened in the episode last night, which I didn't watch because I don't like House.
You don't like House or you don't watch House?
I don't watch it. I like it for what it is, but it's pretty repetitive. So after like 5 episodes in a row, I go like, yeah, I don't need to watch this for another year.
Yeah, I enjoy the show. I've never been a repeat watcher, but whenever I do watch it, I enjoy myself. So, you know, I can't really wrong the guys. It's a good show.
I just find it interesting because I don't have the article up now, but if I remember correctly, the quote said that he was being employed to...
Oh, he's a liaison.
A liaison to the Asian demographic.
Yeah, the Asian American...
Asian Americans as well as the arts.
Art thing, yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
So, like, honestly, what does Obama need a liaison to the Asian American society? Like,
I don't
doesn't,
know.
Doesn't he have enough minority credit already?
Ooh, ouch. Yeah, maybe he will throw him out after a week because he realizes he doesn't need him. Or maybe in a month, you and I will see why he needs him. I don't know. You know, it can go both ways.
And then also, I shed a tear when this news went up because then I realized what's going to happen to Harlan Kumar 3.
Exactly, it won't happen.
I want my Harlan Kumar
and
part 3.
He even said that he is not going to be acting while he's doing this job.
Yeah, not
essentially.
At all.
Yeah, I don't know if he is going to keep to that if he keeps the job for a long period of time.
8 years? But
exactly, I know. I don't know how long he's going to keep it. But he said that at least for now, he's definitely not acting anymore. Speaking of people not acting anymore, there were two people, two very prominent. Well,
two,
one,
there was only one.
No. One is not so prominent anymore, but was more in the like 90s and 80s. And was in a movie that we watched very recently. But two people have said they are thinking of retiring. One being the person who you're probably thinking of, which is Viggo Mortensen. The other one being the person that we saw in a very odd and very good little movie is Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman?
Yes, sir.
Like, why is she retiring? Did she give a reason?
I don't remember.
Or was she just like...
Andrew, you know how I read articles. I read the title, and if I really think it's worth it, I read the article. I didn't think that one was worth it. I just saw it and I said to myself, not again. Those bitches. Stop with the retirement shit. Retire or don't retire. Don't say, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. And that number will be the amount of movies I will be in for the rest of my life. No. Just tell me I'm done or keep on going.
Kind of like last year with Eddie Murphy, who said he was going to retire.
Eddie Murphy, again, he's another culprit that's like, I'm going to retire. La 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 la. Oh, wait. Check. I will not retire. Rubbish. Retire or don't retire. Don't say, I will retire and then unretire. Fuck you, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And if you unretire, Jay-Z, listen.
Hold on, question.
What?
Currently, is he retired or unretired?
Who?
Jay-Z.
His album's coming out this year.
Oh, okay. So
he has an album called The Blueprint Part 3. Him and his flipping sequels. What the hell is wrong with him?
Hold on, no. You said that sequels, you can't bash on sequels.
No. What I'm saying is that you have albums. Why don't you call them different names? Are you not that creative? You've made, 20 songs to go on the damn CD. Just pick up four different words at random, like Dr. Seuss did, and just put them there on top, I don't care if it's, money, cash, hoes, or, green eggs and ham. Just put something on there that isn't Blueprint Part 28 or Life and Times in Sean Carter Volume 127.
Even though the volumes were good.
No, I like most of his stuff. Don't get me wrong.
I didn't like Blueprint 2.
I enjoyed some of Blueprint 2. I didn't like it on a whole, though. But volumes... Okay, the first album, Reasonable Doubt, was great.
Amazing.
Volume 1 was fantastic. Volume 2 was okay. Volume 3 was pretty decent. Well, not pretty decent. It was alright. Then he came out with Blueprint, which I actually really liked. Blueprint 2, not so much. Then he pulled out... after that was the Black Album, right?
Yes,
the Black Album.
That was the one that was supposed to be the retirement album.
The proper retirement album, which I actually enjoyed. There are a couple tracks I don't like, but overall,
I remember
album.
I was playing that album and over when he
99
came out.
Problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. I love that song. And then the bastard decides to come back. And not only does he decide to come back, but he decides to come back and suck balls. Because his latest two albums were crap. The first one was Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
And then that was just plain awful. The second one, which was bad, right? It wasn't plain awful. It was only just bad. Actually, no. It was a little bit better than bad. It was fair to average, was this American Gangster thing, which... He clearly was like, I wanted to be the soundtrack, but Denzel smacked him in the face.
No, what happened, right, was they were like, hey, Jay-Z, you're my friend. They show him the movie a month before it comes out.
Yeah. And
he's like, this is so amazing. I have to do up 20 tracks. And he does up 20 of the lamest tracks ever.
Well, they're not the lamest ever. They're just not that great.
Well, yeah, Kingdom Come is worse.
Kingdom Come is way worse.
But that album is just no.
You know what, though? There's one Jay-Z album that I don't have. And that's because technically it's not a Jay-Z album. Oh, wait! I forgot about Dynasty. That was released as a Jay-Z album, but it's really a Rockefeller thing. But yeah, there's one album that is his, but not released as him. Was the soundtrack to a movie called The Streets Is Watching. And I'm going to buy that one day.
Isn't it one of those straight-to-video movies.
It was from Rockefeller. I'm sure it's one of the Rockefeller movies. But Jay-Z's on it, and it was back when he was good, so it might be good.
Okay, well...
And it's not Jay-Z's on it, sorry. Jay-Z does every flipping song.
Alright, well, another news item that came out this week. Apparently, Jackie Earle Haley, the guy who played Rorschach, is going to be... has been cast in the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street as Freddy Krueger.
Well, it's the second time he'll be playing a pederast.
And you know, I was thinking after watching Watchmen, him and Patrick Wilson once again in a movie together. They were in Little Children together.
Oh, which is the first movie I was thinking of, because that's where he played, you know.
And then they're in Watchmen together. And in and he gets to play, number one, a pedophile.
Yeah.
And number two, a crazy guy who breaks bones and crap. So he gets to draw and on his Rorschach, as well as, I can't remember the character's name, from Little Children.
Yeah, you know? I can't remember either.
And I thought he was brilliant in both of them, so... This is possibly one of the perfect choices that I've seen recently. It's one that's been begged for on the internet from one of our favorite sites, Screen Rant. Back when it was just
Yeah, I remember they had a lot of rumors about Jackie Earle being Freddy Krueger.
No, not just the rumors. When rumors were going around, they were they were giving us their own impression. They were like, if I was to pick someone, it would have to be Jackie Earle.
Yeah.
Right?
And Jackie Earle could play the part. He looks, you know, he's tall and scrawny. He looks like he could be a not vicious, what's the word? A sinister looking kind of guy.
And I mean, a lot of the sites they put up for their...
But is he really that tall?
I don't think he's that... No, he isn't.
TV always makes people look tall. Like, you know...
Prince.
Exactly, like Prince. But Prince does other things too. Prince, like, wears 10-inch heels. Prince is ridiculous. But even looking at people like Tom Cruise and Danny DeVito, like, unless you see Danny DeVito beside somebody, you wouldn't realize he's like 4'2".
No, I know he's 4'2". It's pretty obvious. I think the only movie that kind of did well to hide it was the Batman movie. This is like a thumbs up from me, you know, good choice. And I can't wait to see the movie. Is there anything else news-wise you wanted to talk about?
Oh boy, I'm sure there is. But I guess we can talk about it later if I remember it.
Okay. Alright, now we're gonna...
Oh, no! You know what I do want to talk about?
Okay.
And it's on that list there, but it's not the one that you know I don't want to talk about.
That's very confusing.
Oh, the vagueness. Our listeners must be scratching their heads in wonderment. Okay, so... There was a rumor. Well, it wasn't even posted as a rumor. It was posted as fact, either early today or late yesterday, that said that the Weinstein Company had finally lost the rights to Sin City 2. And it had reverted back to Frank Miller. Well, guess what? Weinstein called up everybody. The lawyers came out and they said, excuse me, we didn't know that we lost anything, and actually we haven't. See it here? In our contract, we have it. So that's what they say. So apparently, the Weinstein Company still, as far as their lawyers are concerned, own the rights to Sin City 2.
Well, I mean, until this evening when you told me, I didn't hear about this, the fact that the rights were not lost.
Yes, I believe Joe Blow had it on there.
I only knew was that the fact it was lost, and I was happy because the Weinsteins lost it.
Yeah, the Weinsteins really, I mean...
I've done my Weinstein rant over and over. I won't repeat myself.
Yeah. It's almost like you and your Weinstein rant is almost like the internet on a whole and their Fox rant.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same things over and over again.
You see, Fox, I hate them for the fact that they make bad movies. Weinstein, I hate for the fact that he makes good movies and decides to fuck them up.
But you know what, though? I mean, it's a flawed argument, because I was reading on Twitter the other day, and Eric Douglas was saying something, and it made perfect sense, and I just didn't understand why our friend Scott didn't get what he was saying. Scott from We Are Movie Geeks was in this argument with this dude, and so Scott was saying, oh, Fox is kind of lame, which, sure, they are, but Eric Douglas was saying, you know what? Fox went through a really good period of movies. You know, they did The original Indiana Jones movies. They did the original Star Wars movies. They did
Wasn't it Paramount that had
Oops.
Paramount had Indiana Jones.
Yeah, they did.
I'm not sure about Star Wars.
No, Star Wars was Fox. But they had all sorts of movies that were good.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they have.
Yeah, I'll take that, yeah.
And no, they're going through a dry period. And that's what most studios do. They go through a dry period. But it seems that Fox is...
Stretching.
Not stretching, but their approach to movie making seems to be a big factor in why they're going through this dry period. But what Eric Douglas was saying was, listen, one of two things are going to happen. Either Fox is going to realize what they're doing is wrong, they're going to fix it, and then they're going to become the Fox of old. Or they're not going to fix it, and they're going to go under. And so, what's the big deal? Why don't you just wait and see what's happening?
I think the huge problem with Fox now really is the Watchmen stuff that went on previously.
It's not just the Watchmen. The Watchmen is...
No, because I mean, as we said, they make bad movies. And that's one thing.
As you said.
That's... All right. as I said,
remember,
they
released Taken. I don't say that Taken is a bad movie.
They didn't make that.
I know they didn't. Andrew, most of these distributors don't make any movies they distribute.
<All right. laughs>
That's what film festivals are for. To buy movies that you didn't make.
Right, but what was I saying? As I said, Fox makes bad movies, and I can't blame you if you make bad movies. That's your fault. Just don't ask me to sit down and watch them.
Right.
Right? Which is why I'm not against Fox, right? The only thing that really got me against Fox was the Watchmen thing. Because even though I do believe they were in the right in what they did, I still was like being a child, being like, hey, stop it, I want my toy.
Yeah, but you have to realize this is business.
Yeah, I know.
What were you saying about Fox again? I had a point, but I can't even remember.
That they just make bad movies, and that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. On the other hand, Weinstein, they make good movies, and then just screw it up.
Remember, actually, the argument is not just that Fox makes bad movies, but similarly, that Fox actually have good movies that are being made, but then decide that they are to be bad, in a sense. This is, you know, the general consensus of the interwebs. Basically, what happens is that they tinker a lot with films, and they take films away from filmmakers. There was an article on WAMG, on We Are Movie Geeks, that, you know, listed out all these movies. They said, Live Free or Die Hard, that was taken away. There was... The Hitman movie was taken away from the director. Babylon AD was taken away from the director. Didn't they release Punisher?
Yes.
The
new one, or...?
The new one.
Yeah.
That may have been taken away. I don't know. That's still kind of up in the air, but that wasn't in the article. I'm just saying that for myself, because the whole story, the whole way that scenario played out just doesn't seem right to me.
I honestly kind of want to watch that movie.
It looks bad, though. But yes, what they're saying is that these movies could have been great, and I don't want to agree one way or another, or to agree or disagree with them. Clearly, they would have been different movies. But what the internet is essentially saying is that these movies were great, then they were given to these guys that try and make them into PG-13 movies and more marketable movies, and so they dumb them down and they become crap. Which could be true. It could also be a bit of a stretch of the truth, which is what I think is going on. That truth is being stretched a little bit, but there is some truth in this thing that, you know, artistic license is being not just compromised, but almost smashed in the pursuit for money. And that's what everybody's upset over. So that is why Fox is now the devil. Not simply because they release bad movies, but because the bad movies that they release could have been so much better.
Okay. And I agree with you about Babylon AD. I do see that as possibly being a better movie than what it turned out to be.
Don't agree with me. I was just saying that that's what these guys said.
Okay. Well, I agree with them.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually still haven't watched that movie.
Don't watch it this bad.
I don't really want to, but I think I might.
Vin Diesel.
If it's on TV, Andrew, I'm sorry. It looks like the type of movie that I could sit down and just end up watching, because there's lots of action in it.
Wait for 20 years when the director's cut comes out. when Fox is going under.
The article claimed that it took out about 70 minutes of film from that movie, by the way.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane. All right, moving on from our news section, right, for this week. We're going to play a couple trailers for you guys. And the first one is Sacha Baron Cohen's newest film, Bruno.
I'm Bruno.
I'm Ted Milan Fashion Week.
Ish, I'm going to wear the jumpsuit made entirely out of Velcro.
You go out now.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Tell me out of it. Take a step yourself.
Hi, welcome to Sears. How can I help you today?
You may find this very hard to believe, but I'm gay.
Okay.
Look at the four of us. We are so like the Sexton's and City Girls.
Oh, no, we aren't either.
Which one are you, Donnie?
I ain't either one of them. I'm Donnie.
That is such a Samantha thing to say.
Angelina's got fun. Madonna's got fun. Now Bruno's got fun.
Now, our next guest is a single parent. Please welcome Bruno. So what's the baby's name?
I gave him like a traditional African name. OJ.
What?
This is a swingers party, right, guys?
How are you?
Oh, hi.
Oh,
wow.
You must produce a lot of milk.
Take it off.
No.
Don't fuck around.
Ow! Oh, my gosh, you got to be out of your mind.
What type belt is that, candidate?
D&T.
What is D&G?
Dolce & Gabbana, hello?
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 How do you protect yourself from a dildo?
We're looking for a locksmith.
You're looking for shit. Get out of here.
This is ended.
How do you defend yourself against the man with two dildos?
Boom!
Guess what? That was the Bruno trailer.
Your favorite British comedian.
He is my favorite British comedian. If you know me, you know that I have been a Borat slash Ali G slash Bruno fan for... How many years now, Andrew? Since 2001, essentially.
Forever.
So that is like 8 years.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, wow. A long
People
time.
Have lived and died in
yes,
that period.
I knew about Ali G way before, you know, he came out on HBO and stuff. But not way before, more like a year before.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel like, you know, that whole year was a year when I was into this, you know, funny man that nobody was into, and that was very... I felt it. It was very good. Anyway, so I guess that is just a primer. That is for you to understand that I love this man. I love Sacha Baron Cohen. And I hated this trailer. And I've told you this already, so it's not a surprise to you. But I'm sure it's going to be a surprise to a lot of people who know me. I really didn't think it was good. It didn't interest me at all. Most of the jokes were flat. They weren't that funny. And it was just a bunch of scenes kind of hacked together with a bunch of text saying that Borat was a great movie, which it was. I enjoy that movie to death. I also think I will still enjoy this movie, but it's not because of this trailer. It's because I know that Ali G slash Borat slash Bruno slash Sacha Baron Cohen is a funny, funny man.
Well... You already know this. I started at the other end of the stick. I hated Ali G with a passion. The first time I heard about him was when you came back from college and spoke so highly, right? And then eventually you got that HBO show, which I thought was lame.
Booyakasha! Right?
And then I was like, what the hell is this dude doing? And how does he get these interviews, right? Because I get what he's trying to do. right? But I just can't get over the stupidity of it, right? And then you had to force me. You had to tie me down in order to see Borat, and I couldn't stop laughing. Right? That movie was 5 billion times more hilarious than anything I'd ever seen in an Ali G show. Right? I just couldn't believe to the extent that he took it. Right?
And can I tell you, it was the greatest feeling. It was so funny to watch you try and not laugh in that movie. For about a half an hour, his face was so... You could see the pain in it because he really wanted to laugh, but he couldn't. Because if he did, it would mean that Ali G was funny. It would mean that Sacha Baron Cohen was funny, and he couldn't do it.
And then as Sacha Baron Cohen's career progressed and he got into other films like one of our favorites, yes, Talladega Nights. I love him in that movie. He also got a bit role in Sweeney Todd.
Which was fantastic.
Which was fantastic.
A shiver the face.
I still say that song needed to be nominated for best song that year. I don't
it
care.
It really was the best song in the movie. Or the best sequence in the movie, I should say.
I don't
say.
Care that the musical was originally written in 1960, whatever.
Best original song, right?
Right. Just like how Beyoncé Knowles got nominated for best original song for Cadillac Records. I love this trailer. I think it's plain out hilarious. It's another step to showing me how far he's going to take it. Especially with that shot of them in the mall with what it looks like Sacha Baron Cohen cuffed onto some other dude while this dude has like a dildo kind of thing on his mouth.
No,
strap on, a dildo strap on thing on his mouth.
What's happening, I think, is that they're supposed to be...
And he's looking for a locksmith?
Mid-coitus. Right? Well, is it coitus if it's with another man? I don't know, but I think they're supposed to be...
I think the whole idea is
locked
orgasm,
together,
you know?
In holy... Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say,
yeah,
here, right? And they're literally locked with a key, and I think that he needs then to find a locksmith.
No, yeah, but it's how they're approaching the situation,
yeah.
You know? It's not like... Oh, we accidentally cuffed each other and we lost the key and they're walking around in regular clothes. These guys are in, like, leather strap-ons and fetish clothing and all sorts of craziness and going into a regular, everyday American mall just for kicks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of thing which made me realize how funny Borat was, how far he would take the issue.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that one day I want to be able to look at some of the footage that they had to cut out because it got a little too out of hand, or someone wouldn't sign the release form.
Like when Hugh Laurie had to save Sacha Baron Cohen,
yeah,
on the streets of New York.
Yeah.
I think that was in the news sometime.
It was during the promotion of Borat. He was in character and he had just left like some studio with Hugh Laurie, who apparently is a friend of his.
Friend of Borat's or a friend of...
Friend of Sacha Baron Cohen.
Or Sacha Baron.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's like three different people,
right?
Almost.
And apparently whenever he does these promotional stuff, he stays in character.
Yeah.
He doesn't turn it off, right? So he's completely Borat for the next month. And he's going out to a bar with Hugh Laurie. And on the way, Borat becomes Borat again and asks an average American a question and starts to pester him. And then the American's response is to attempt to start a physical altercation, right? And Hugh Laurie had to intervene and save Borat because, I mean, I don't know, but he doesn't look like a guy who can hold up a fight.
He looks like he could hold his own. But it depends on how big the other dude was. But then again, Hugh Laurie doesn't look like he can hold his own either.
And then the next question is, if he ended up in the fight, would he still stay in character? Because we can definitely say Borat wouldn't hold up.
I don't know.
he'd take out his swimwear.
But you know what, though? Another thing that I have to say, and I hope I don't have to say this again, but I hope that he tries something new. Bruno is really just another iteration of Ali G and of Borat.
It's an alter?
Essentially. Both, all three of them, Borat, Ali G, and Bruno, are essentially just weird people who are either too stupid, too foreign, or too gay for, you know, the person that they're talking to. That's essentially what he's made them. Right? I mean, I'm pigeonholing them, so there's much more to each character. But that's, you know, a short synopsis.
Majuli.
Majuli. Yes. But okay, so that's a short synopsis of what those three characters are. And essentially all they are, and all they do, is they go around and they interview
people. They take a stick and poke.
Yeah, they interview people, and they try and make bad things, maybe not bad things, but interesting things and funny things and not very flattering things happen. And that is funny. And he's been living off that for a long time now. But I hope that he can transition into something else. Not necessarily like, you know, regular acting comedy, regular stand-up, regular stage, regular whatever. But something new. Something that he has not done before. Maybe it doesn't have to be completely different. Like we've said before, nothing's completely original. And it would then be maybe a further iteration that has a little less in common with these three main characters that he has now. But I just want him to do something new. I don't want him to you know, do Ali G in another mask, which is what Bruno and Borat kind of are, in a sense.
Oh, I was just about to ask whether you were whether you thought he would eventually come around to making up a whole new character.
Well, yes, a whole new character, but not a whole new character that does the same thing. A whole new character, and maybe not a whole new, but a somewhat new scenario.
Okay, well, you don't like the trailer. I love the trailer.
Yeah, I will still watch the movie because I think it better. I think it is going to be hilarious, and if it's not, I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him.
All right. Well, moving on to our second trailer of the night. Here's the new trailer for Brothers Bloom, the newest film by Rian Johnson.
How'd you find me?
It's actually pretty simple. We're brothers.
And I've come to the conclusion that you don't want out. You think you do, but you don't.
Where are we going?
New Jersey.
Let me grab my coat.
This will be the last one.
I'll never ask you to do another con again.
The largest private residence on the eastern seaboard, home of our final mark. Penelope Stamp lived at home her whole life.
So what kind of stuff do you do?
I collect hobbies.
She's an artist with nitroglycerin. It's kind of her thing.
Maximilian Melville, at your service.
I didn't expect him to actually be Belgian.
I'm not sure he is.
We're taking a steamer at noon tomorrow off the docks.
It's like an adventure story.
What's the con?
We go to St. Petersburg. We are guys in a phony setup who then double-cross us and kill us all.
She drives off on the run from imaginary Russians.
And we keep her money.
How much?
2.5 million.
You're a genius, Stephen.
Trick to not feeling cheated is to learn how to cheat.
Sometimes I feel like she knows everything.
Okay, she's in position.
Why send her in alone?
Because no one's gonna even know we were ever here.
This is dangerous.
I think a little real danger might suit me.
You built us into this, you're gonna end it.
Bloom, trust me.
You guys seem a little tense.
That's not how this one's gonna end. Are you ready? This isn't an adventure story.
Well, it totally is!
Right, so that was the trailer for The Brothers Bloom, the newest film by Rian Johnson. He also did Brick, which I love.
I know you do.
Right, so
I'm not sure why. It doesn't look that great. I think that this trailer looks fantastic. I like Rachel Weisz. I like Mark Ruffalo. I like Adrian Brody. I like Hagrid. you know, I like most of the people, or most of the main people in this trailer who are in this film. So here's how the movie's going to go.
Alright, hold on. No, I'm gonna stop you. Don't do that.
Why not?
Don't do that. I mean, it's funny when you do it to me because I'm an idiot, but let our listeners have the fun of enjoying the film for what it is. Douglas has this tendency to see through and predict everything in a film, while I'm the complete opposite. Even though if I sit down and I think about it, I'm sure I'll get to the prediction in the end, because, yes, I agree, films can be predictable. But he takes it to an extent because he thinks I'm bad. And I enjoy it being like this, where I keep myself dumb so that I can enjoy the film when I watch it. But when Douglas is sitting there and we're watching a movie, he's like, the guy's going to get with the girl. And, you know, as obvious as it is, I don't care. I try to keep myself...
Andrew, all I have to say to you is I know you're a drug dealer.
Sam's a dog.
You got one!
Okay.
One! How many do I have?
Mine counts to equal all of yours. Anyways, right, so back on point. Like, what did you think of this trailer without spoiling the entire plot of the film for people?
Okay, what did I think about the trailer? I think the trailer did a very good job in showing me that what's going to happen in this movie is... No, I'm just joking. I liked the trailer. It was very... It looked good. It conveyed the gist of the story, which was the con, which is usually... Well, I shouldn't say it's usually a good type of story, but I like con movies. I enjoy, you know, Ocean's 11. I enjoyed Matchstick Men a little bit. I didn't mind even the one that you didn't like, though it was almost, like, pretty average.
Con Air?
I'll never talk to you again. No, I'm talking about... Was it called Criminals?
Yeah.
With Diego Luna and...
John C. Reilly. Was it Diego Luna or was it the other one?
No. No. Don't you dare mix up Gael Garcia Bernal with Diego Luna. I love Diego Luna, but he is no Gael. Okay? Gael is the man. Alright, just because they were in Itu Mama Tambien together, and they will be in this new movie, it's the two names, but...
Rhodey E. Kersey, I think the name is.
Yeah, it's the name of the two guys that they are in the movie, I can't remember, but even though they're in those two movies together, that does not mean that you are allowed to mix them up. One went on to do a couple of movies that I liked him in, the other... went on to be in a Michel Gondry movie.
Rudo Ikersi, just to correct myself. It's Rudo Ikersi.
Only one has been in a Michel Gondry movie, Andrew. And that decides the cream of the crop. He is up.
But then again, he was also in Blindness.
The air is crisp.
He was also in Blindness.
Did you not like that movie?
No.
I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I know that the internet wasn't very flattering of it, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And I loved him in the movie. I thought he was fantastic.
No.
You know what? I think that I will be a king.
No, I will be
the king of number two or whatever the hell it was.
No, you're just like me. You just love the voice.
No, I liked him in the movie. But I liked the movie on a whole. I thought it was a good... You know, it played on human emotions, on how humans... How I call them humans. Ugh. How people come together sometimes in the face of adversity. And it showed... Man, oh man, did I feel it for Julianne Moore.
I'm sure she felt it too.
No, she didn't, because he didn't get to anymore.
Oh.
She didn't feel... Anyway, whatever. But back to the point, right? What did we just watch? We watched The Brothers Bloom.
Brothers Bloom.
That movie looks good. I will watch it.
You need to go and watch Brick, though.
It doesn't... I've seen a piece of it, and it's...
It's amazing. I love it.
And Monique is in the flipping movie. Why am I watching a movie with a woman called Monique?
She's only in the movie.
She's got a flipping apostrophe in her name, Andrew. It's M-O apostrophe Neek. What the hell? P.S. For all of you people who think she's funny, she's not. Just to let you know.
I'm trying to think of counter examples.
Of what?
people you like who have apostrophes in their name.
No, I'm just joking around.
I know.
But she's not funny. She's not a good actress. She's just loud. And I don't know why she's in movies. Ever.
Well, I mean, she has a small role. Leave it alone.
She was in the movie when I saw it. That made me not want to watch a movie.
Be quiet. The movie's awesome. Go and watch it. Right? I love this trailer, but one thing I have to say is I don't think it showed me much more than the trailer that came out last year when they were saying they were going to release it.
Yeah, it was just a bit fancier looking.
Yeah, I think they added a little bit more of the end plot, you know, in the fact that they're turning around the con in the end.
Oh, no, that was in the last trailer too, or at least I saw it in the last trailer. Did you, Andrew?
No, I must have missed it. I have to say, I can't wait to watch this movie in order to see the scene when she shows off all of her hobbies. Like, you get a glimpse of it in the trailer. I hope there's a ton more in the movie, because that scene just seems like it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And also, I'm kind of a fan of Adrian Brody, even
kind
though...
Kind of?
Yes, kind
what
of.
What happened? You were all gung-ho about Adrian Brody a while back. What happened to make you not like him that much anymore?
He's done a ton of, like, mediocre to poor films.
Like what?
King Kong.
Ouch. But that's one movie, though. A movie by a guy who had just done Lord of the Rings that was supposed to be good. So, what else is it? No. For you to say you don't like somebody, you can't have to go to IMDb to actually look up the movies that you didn't like. You could tell me The Jacket wasn't good. I don't know if you like that one or not.
Cadillac Records. Darjeeling.
Did you watch Cadillac?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I didn't because I knew it was going to be bad, but yeah. No, shut up. Shut up. Don't tell me Darjeeling Limited
was
that
bad.
I like that movie. You damn Wes Anderson hater. You
I
don't like
Rushmore.
That.
I don't like Sisu.
What do you like? You only like Rushmore. That's it. Nothing else, right?
Is there another Wes Anderson movie I like? I didn't really like Bottle Rocket
you
that much
like
when
Bottle
I saw it.
Rocket? What the hell is wrong
I
with
thought
you?
It was okay. Yeah, it was really just Rushmore. I love his soundtracks, though.
Whatever.
Come on. Are you really going to sit there and tell me that Darjeeling was a good movie?
Yes.
What was good about it?
I just enjoyed it. It was... I don't know, it's just the type of movie I like. I'd have to watch it again to give you actual reasons why, but I enjoyed it.
Meh. It was boring, drawn out, and it was quirky for quirky's sake rather than anything else.
So, what's a good reason for being quirky?
Huh?
What's a good reason for being quirky?
No, I mean, as in... I think the movie was pushed only by the fact that these three brothers together were this quirky trio that they couldn't work well together, and they'd always be doing little inside things like the one brother who wrote the stories, which was always based on something true, and he told them it wasn't, but it technically was. The one brother who had his assistant with him all the while. The one who I think it's Adrian Brody who's the other one who I can't even remember what his quirk was. And then you mesh them all together and it becomes this trio of quirk, which I think was just a waste.
Yeah, but that's the same. That's done all the time and it's not a waste. I mean, you can't say it's quirky just because they want it to be quirky. Maybe that's true or not, but it's not as if, you know, you go about making a movie and you're like, you know what, I'm going to make a regular movie, and then all of a sudden, whoops, it's quirky. I didn't mean that to happen. I mean, that does happen, I'm sure, but it's no.
You got quirky movies
and you got not quirky movies.
No.
And you got movies with quirky characters, and most movies have quirky characters. Look at The Odd Couple. Look at any movie with Zooey Deschanel in it.
No.
Look at, you know...
I love quirky characters. I love Zooey Deschanel. However, they have some form of something else pushing the movie forward, and then you have a quirky character on the side. Darjeeling felt like a film which was just quirk.
So essentially what you're saying is you don't like odd movies.
If that's what you want to say.
No, if that's what you're saying. If you're saying that the reason you don't like it is because it was odd, then say that. Don't say it's because it was quirky for quirky's sake. No, it was quirky. So what if it was quirky? Some people like quirky movies, some people don't. Maybe you're not the type of person that likes quirky movies.
I guess not.
I'm the person that does. As you already know, because you've seen some of the DVDs in my room.
Yeah. Well, I guess we've gone on long enough. Brothers Bloom, trailer awesome. Have to watch the movie.
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to move on to our last trailer of the night. And this one just came out today.
Which one is this?
This one is Mike Judge's newest film.
Oh, right. Extract.
Extract.
You see that? They're not going to do their jobs. I'm not going to do mine. I'm just going to sit here.
Oh, no.
He definitely lost one of them, and they think that they can reattach the other one, but they're not sure.
Wow. That's hardcore.
How fragile we all are. They're just hanging there. Do you want to go to the bedroom?
I'm a little tired.
Sexual frustration is really hard.
If I don't get home before 8, she puts on the sweatpants. And once the sweatpants are on, I get nothing.
Hi.
Hon? Joel, let me introduce you to the new temps. This is Cindy.
Hey.
Hi.
And, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Damn. She work here?
Yeah, she's a temp.
She's a tramp?
Temp.
Stress is a killer.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What is he doing? We can't do our job if they don't do our job.
Extract.
I get paranoid when I smoke.
Not if you smoke a little.
That was Extract by Michael Judge, most famous probably for his television show Beavis and Butthead, but also known in or known widely for Office Space, one of my very, I shouldn't say favorite, but one of my much loved movies. What do you think of that trailer, Andrew?
I'd like to start with telling everyone I didn't like Office Space. I don't like Jason Bateman. I love Mila Kunis. I love J.K. Simmons.
Hang on, why do you love Mila Kunis?
Because she's hot.
Not because of acting ability. Because I do remember Mila Kunis being billed in a movie recently. A Mark Wahlberg movie, in fact.
You mean one of the worst movies of last year?
Yes, I do. And I
Max
believe,
Painful.
Yes, and I believe...
Oh, Maximum
oh,
Pain.
By the way, sorry. That was one of the movies billed in this article as being taken away from the director and, like, cut up.
Oh.
So maybe it was good before.
No. Can promise you that.
No. Anyway, so why do you like her, and she was in that movie, but you don't like Mark Wahlberg because he was in that movie?
Because Mila Kunis wasn't the point of that movie. And on the other hand, earlier in the year, Mila Kunis decided to be in a much better film called Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Which I need to buy so soon. I love that movie so much.
I think
much.
I might beat you. I think
oh,
I might
no,
beat you to it
not,
soon.
You better not.
But who else is in this movie that I can name?
J.K. Simmons, did you
I
name him?
I love J.K. Simmons.
Oh, there's SNL girl. I can never remember her name.
I like her only because of what you said off air.
Right, from Knocked Up.
From Knocked Up. She's the girl in Knocked Up, the executive girl, who's really mean. I loved her scenes, but I don't watch SNL that much, so I don't know.
Yeah, me either. But she's from in a few, like, of these type of movies.
Yeah, that's cool. And also they had the lady from Donnie Darko in there, which I found as a nice little giggle.
Love and fear. You
can't are going
be in between.
You're going down the path of fear. Like, I love Donnie Darko. I think I've made this very clear on early episodes.
Yes, no, and I agree with you. I love that movie as well. But there was a second movie that man did. He did...
Southland Tales.
Southland Tales.
Yeah, that movie fell very flat.
Yes, I did not smell what The Rock was cooking in that one. Not quite.
But anyways, this trailer, I think it's pretty funny, right? I think it's not as... like Beavis and Butthead or even Office Space?
I actually think Beavis and Butthead and Office Space are two very different entities altogether.
And this is a completely different one as well,
yeah.
is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not going back to anything that he's done before creatively, right? And that's something that makes me want to give it a chance, right? People say they're tired of Michael Cera. I say I'm tired of Jason Bateman. And I hope, even though it's obvious that he's the lead character and actor in this film, I hope that they give all the side actors enough room so that I don't have to spend all my time with Jason Bateman
being
annoyed.
So, Andrew, why don't you, if you're going to try this movie, why don't you hope that Jason Bateman is better than you expect him to be?
Because then I'd only be setting myself up for disappointment.
Damn it. I mean, you know my take on Jason Bateman. I'm a huge fan. I loved
Arrested Yes, you and your Arrested Development.
I love most of the movies that he's in. Well, I shouldn't
Hancock.
Say that. You see, didn't you hear me start to correct myself? Didn't you hear me? I realized that
didn't
there were
we
a couple
see some
of movies.
Crappy 80s film the
yes,
other day.
Yes, I did. It almost looked like a made-for-TV movie. It was so bad.
What was the name of it?
I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was he was in it, and the only other big guy in it was, I can't remember his name, but he was the lead in Green. What was the name of that? Picket Fences was the name of the show he was in, and he was also probably a bigger role you especially would know him from, was he was like the mentor guy in Top Gun.
Okay.
The guy with the mustache. All right, so that's... Oh, wait, no. Yes, he was in Top Gun. So... Shit, I forgot
was he
what
Goose?
I was talking about. The mentor, man.
Oh, the mentor. Wait, no, I'm
like,
an idiot.
Like the
sorry.
Older guy. The guy that was an instructor.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know his name, but yeah.
Yeah, and I've lost my complete train of thought. I don't know what the hell I was talking about.
You.
What is he?
Hmm?
What does that guy have to do with anything? Is he in this movie?
I think you were talking about Jason Bateman and his 80s shitty film that you saw.
Oh, yes, right. Thank you very much. So Jason Bateman and this guy were in this movie. And that was essentially it. Those were the biggest names, I think. And it was about how Jason Bateman was this in this band, and then his dad, who is this Top Gun man, sent him to music camp. But he didn't like it, so he ran away and came back home. And then his family had just left him. His house was empty, completely empty. No furniture. No mom and dad, no brother and sister, no dog, nothing. And he had to kind of search for them. And then he found them in the end, of course. You know, that's the usual thing. But it was so made for TV. It was horrendous. Anyway, back to this trailer. I think it was good. I think it looks like it could be extremely funny. I trust in Michael Judge, even though I'm not a huge fan of King of the Hill. Even though I'm not a huge fan of... What was his last debacle again?
Idiocracy.
Actually, I shouldn't call it a debacle.
Oh, I forgot
really,
about that movie. I hated that rubbish.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay, at best. So, he has had his fair share of movies and, well, projects that I'm not a huge fan of. But his successes, in my mind, outweigh his failures. Or lack of successes, I should say, maybe then, because they're not all failures. So I think that I would definitely give this movie a try. I think that this could be. It looks like a great movie. And like I said, J.K. Simmons is in it. I love him. You know, SNL lady is in it. She's hilarious when she wants to be. So, yeah.
I have to say bad trailer. Mainly because Jason Bateman is all over it.
No. Take out the Jason Bateman factor. You can't call a trailer a bad trailer because you don't like the person that's in the trailer. Call it a bad trailer because the trailer itself
All right, hold
is
on,
bad.
Hold on. Let's roll back a couple weeks to year one.
Uh-huh. No, I never said it was or I hope I didn't say it was a bad trailer. What
Michael
I probably
Cyril.
Said... Well, I
Everyone
love Michael
was,
Cera.
It wasn't you, it was Damien. Then.
Yeah. Was I'm a Michael Cera fan, remember?
Was ragging on Michael Cera for being Michael Cera all over the trailer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, I hate actors. I hate certain actors because they do the same shtick all the while. And as I said, I was about to say Mark Wahlberg. Jason Bateman, No, I don't like him.
No, but yeah, say you don't like him, but don't say you don't like the trailer because he's in it.
But I don't like it, not just because he's in it, but I'm really getting around to the main point without saying it all the while, in that he's in it, he's doing the same thing he does all the while, which I don't like, and he's doing it throughout the entire trailer, hence I don't like the trailer.
Again, you're basing the trailer love, or hate, in this case, on some dude that's in the trailer.
Alright, so instead of making me watch a trailer or the movie, give me the script and I'll make up voices in my head and pretend who should be in it. I have to go with what I'm given.
You keep going around. Anyway, the trailer is more than just a dude. Okay? You can't hate the... I hate when people do these type of things. They're like, oh, I hate this, I hate that. Not because you hate it, but because you don't like something else completely. It's annoying. It's like, you know, arg. I want to punch you right now. But yeah, whatever. You're just being stupid, I think. Anyway.
So we can move on to our main review now. That's enough with trailers. This week we'll be reviewing a film that just came out on DVD, Tell No One. Your precious love
more to me.
Okay, so that was Tell No One, the trailer, and, I went into this movie basically blind, because all I had seen was a poster which he showed me, and when I saw that it came out on DVD last week after we reviewed Time Crimes, I was like, yeah, we're gonna have to do this next week.
Yeah. I definitely always wanted to watch this movie because of the poster that I showed you. Remember, I'm a names man and I'm a poster man, and the poster looked fantastic, and I loved it, but I'd like to say something about this movie.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but the movie was okay. It was all right. But you know what I'm realizing more and more as I think about it? The whole movie was completely unnecessary.
Why?
You remember how things tied off in the end, right?
Right.
Why didn't that just happen in the beginning?
Because...
You realize that nothing that happened in the end could not have happened in the beginning.
Hold on. In the end, in order for me to get through this...
So, in the end,
block,
right?
Hold on. Before we get to anything, if we're going to spoil anything...
No, I'm trying not to spoil anything.
See,
I'm being extremely vague.
Right, I'm going to spoil stuff, right?
No, don't
no,
spoil
No, not right
anything.
Now. What I'm saying is I'm going to delay what I want to say, right? We're going to just... I'm going to ignore what you just said. I have no idea of how to discuss what you just said without spoiling 100 things. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the movie and then I'm going to announce spoilers and we'll get into that discussion.
But I don't really want to get into that discussion. I just want to say it.
No.
But that discussion is going to spoil things. I don't want to spoil things for the viewers. The movie wasn't
They're
bad.
They're listeners.
They view with their ears, Andrew. But... Honestly, this movie wasn't, extremely bad. It just... In the end, you're kind of left with... That's it? Is that all? Are you serious? Because in the end, they tie off all the loose ends in this one dynamic act by one of the main characters. Well, I shouldn't call him a main character. One of the characters. But all this character does is something that could have been done from the get-go that would have avoided all of the to-ing and fro-ing and upping and downing that happens throughout the movie. If that person had done what he did in the end, right when the inciting action happened, how would that have been any different? Or no, sorry, it would have been different. What would have been different is that the movie would not be necessary. Nothing in the movie would have happened.
Once again, I have to repeat what I said earlier. Okay. I can't comment or discuss what you want to say without announcing spoilers.
Damn,
you know what you just said. I'm just going to tell you what I thought about the movie.
Okay, what did you think about the movie?
I loved this film, right? I thought it was an amazing thriller. Like, it's taken without the action, without as much action. No, I shouldn't say as much.
Without any action.
Right? And it's all thriller. It's all mystery as to figure out what's really happening here and what happened back then and why is he under suspicion of these murders. Because, alright, the story is that him and his wife go off to the lake for, an evening or whatever.
A midnight tryst.
Yeah. And she leaves him for a second, you know, just like what happens, you know, he says something mistakenly. And then she leaves him for a second to go off to be like, eh, whatever. And then she gets taken away, right? And then as he goes to rescue her, he gets knocked out, and then later they find a couple of days later that she's died. And then the film skips forward 8 years, and he's working and doing whatever, until in the middle of nowhere, two dead bodies appear, and the police come back at him. Apparently they were suspecting him from before, and now they're attacking him again.
Yeah, because they suspected him of his wife's murder. And these two, I think they said that the two guys were a part of the whole
scenario. They assumed so because the bodies were over 5 years old.
Yeah, and it wasn't like we said 8 years ago that this thing happened.
So they're after him, and then a whole conspiracy happens around this investigation in how evidence is coming up and how it looks against certain people, and he ends up going on the run. And stuff. And I loved every element of this film when it came down to dialogue, filmmaking, tone, look, and also certain key aspects, especially the small team of people running around town torturing people. You know, the woman and the man, this really skinny woman. Like, oh, I thought that any scene they were in when they were just doing stuff to people was cool to watch.
Yeah, the skinny woman, she was kind of...
Like, she knew pressure points.
Yeah.
You'd see her hit someone, and even though you'd be like, that felt kind of soft, the person would drop to the ground and immediately couldn't move for another half an hour. This is another foreign film that I think I'd recommend to most people to see, for all those people who think that only Jodie Foster films are good thrillers.
Who said a Jodie Foster film is a good thriller?
Jodie Foster films are generally good thrillers.
Have you seen Panic Room lately?
I liked Panic Room.
Oh, okay.
Right. So you said you weren't a big fan, but you didn't sound like you were completely against it.
No. I thought the movie was okay. I thought the movie was more than average, but not... nowhere near being good. That's what I thought about the movie. I thought the movie was, you know, it presented its story, presented it well enough, but then again, like I said, it's all about the ending. You got to the ending and you were like, really, is that it? And I kind of saw that that's where the movie was going, as, you know, we say, these things are a little bit predictable. But it just... I keep going around it. I keep going over it in my head again and again. And I'm saying, you know, why couldn't they have made this movie better? You know? It just wasn't that great because the ending just kind of screwed it up.
All right. So, would you recommend this to who?
I'd recommend watching it. But I would also temper that by saying it's not a fantastic movie.
Okay. I say everyone goes and watch it. Give it, even if you're not sure, give it a rent, at least. You know? However, I want to get into a couple of spoilers here. Right? So, if you've seen the film, sure, stick around. If not, come back later after you've seen the film.
Spoiler alert!
Alright, now, you're talking about how...
When the father...
The lady's
father decides in the end, finally, after 8 bloody years... to say, oh, I did it, even though he didn't do it. But he's like, I did it. What happened was, I killed Philip Newville, and, well, really, the wife killed Philip Newville, and he was covering for her.
It was the daughter.
Yeah. The wife of the man, the daughter of the father. Whichever way you want to think about
wife
it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right? The main character's wife, his daughter. Same person.
Okay.
All right. So she killed Philippe Newville, who was this, you know, son of this big politician type dude. And he wanted to protect her. And he tried his hardest. And then, you know, she got the guy off that he had framed for the job. And so he's like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell am I going to do? And so he decides he's going to fake her own death. So he gets, you know... He knows that Newville is going to get these two guys to kill her. So he gets to one of them and he says, listen, kill the other guy and just, you know, put her in the trunk. And so he does that. And then the father, who was watching in the bushes, runs out and pops the other dude. So he kills both. So both of them are dead. And then he takes her out of the trunk and says, your husband is dead. Your husband is dead. You must go. This is Newville doing this. And then she goes. And he tells his story about what happened. And he says that he couldn't have done it any other way because Newville had most of the police force on the take. And he was, I think his words were something like, and I was on the top of that list. So he was on the take as well. And this is done while he knows that the husband or his son-in-law has a wire on him. So this is going to out to the police. And so in the end, the police arrests Newville. The police arrests him. No, well, they don't arrest him. He kills himself. But the police arrest, I'm sure, everybody else that is involved. And, you know, case done. Correct?
Correct.
If he had done this in the beginning, wouldn't the same thing have happened?
No, because, right, what was happening, right, is, as he said, the entire police force was on the take. So if he went up to anyone in the police force and said, yeah, that dude... They would have been like, really? You're fired.
So, Andrew, why didn't it happen then?
What?
Why didn't it happen then?
Because it was dealing with a specific detective who was on the side of the husband, right? Who was trying to prove his innocence, as you saw as the movie went on.
But there were quite a few policemen outside.
Hmm?
There were quite a few policemen outside.
Yeah, but he had been retired, so things, people change, people, and Newville isn't the same person he was before. I mean,
why is that?
No, hold on.
Newville had people out there looking for the woman to kill her.
No.
What do you mean he's not the same kind of guy?
in that he's now established and no longer has to deal. He no longer
now established.
He's.
What do you mean by now established?
He's no longer. Who he was 8 years ago, where he was still trying to stay in the business. Well, no, he's more...
What business? What do you mean by the business?
The whatever business it is he was dealing with, which was horse racing at the time. The horse jumping thing.
No, I think... Right? Andrew, I think...
Hold on, no.
I think the story is that he's a politician. His son was a horse jumper. And he must have, like... And the main character's father owned and ran this ranch. I shouldn't call it ranch, but
this, he didn't this run compound. It. He was employed to the ranch.
No, it was his. That's why in the beginning of the movie, when the guy said, I don't know why she doesn't sell it. He was talking about his sister selling the thing that his father owned before he gave it to them.
Oh, okay.
So he owned it and he ran it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, go on with what you're saying.
Newville, to me, at the point 8 years later, seemed to me the kind of person who was now established in the community. No one looked on him with bad eyes anymore, right? He had his position, he had the power, and he no longer needed to buy out the police force, right? What was done, and the people who knew what he had done are people who could incriminate themselves by saying he did it, which is kind of like the father, right? So he was no longer needing these services. So for the police force of today, he probably doesn't have as much pull with them as he did 8 years ago when the father was in the force. While Newville now he's just a retired politician who likes to watch horses jump all over the place and walk people out into the field before the event. That's what it seemed like to me.
Andrew, first off, 8 years isn't a long time. Second off, once you're a crook, you're always a crook. Right? If you're paying off somebody like that, you're probably going to still be paying them off after 8 years. And the fact that kind of reiterated that was him having these four people running around trying to kill both the husband and the wife who was supposed to already...
No, but that had to deal with issues of the fact that
it was his son that got killed. Yeah. I know this. But it still shows that he's an evil man.
Yeah, deep down inside.
But not just that, but if he's an evil man, why would he stop paying the police? Why would he stop paying the police? What incentive would he have to stop paying the police?
Alright, then why did he get arrested?
Because... what happens is you can't pay everybody. You can only pay the high-ups. You pay certain people and hope that they have enough clout to kind of spread it around so that, you know, their responsibilities intersect with what you're doing. So, for example, you know, I'm a drug dealer. I pay off the guy that I know will make sure that when I do a drug deal, I don't get caught. But I'm not going to pay off every guy. I'm going to pay off the one or two people that are important enough that can get it done. So all that has happened is that there are a few that, you know, he didn't pay off. And those are the few that were kind of spearheading this thing. Sure, you're talking about the guy that thought that the husband was innocent of all these charges that got put up against him. But it wasn't just him. There was this lady cop as well that was around doing all sorts of foolishness. And so what he could have done, seeing as he's on the top of the list, he could have, you know... If he didn't know then who was being paid off, he probably didn't know now either. So he was taking the same risk now that he would have taken 8 years ago by telling this story. And so the same outcome would have occurred. Well, maybe not the same outcome would have occurred, but the same probability, the probability that this outcome or the other outcome, which is, you know, he gets shot and died and everything goes back to the way it would be in this movie, it would be the same. So if he had just told his story to somebody the night, like 2 days afterwards, his daughter wouldn't have to go out on the run. This man wouldn't have to become like a drunkard or a half of a drunkard and, excuse me, a bit of a weirdo. And, you know, the movie just would not have happened.
But then, do you think that at that point it would have been enough to get Newville into jail and save the daughter from having to go on the run?
Well, if he could convincingly say that he was the one that killed Newville, then yes, it would keep his daughter from being on the run.
Don't you think that number one, even if it was convincing enough to even get him arrested on that day, the daughter would still be in danger from being having teams sent out after her from Newville at that point anyways?
Not any more than this time now, 8 years from now, when Newville is in prison. Sure, Newville from prison could send out these teams, but if he would 8 years ago, he could still do it 8 years from... He could still do it at the end of the movie.
I see what you're saying, but I still stick to my guns and say it looks like a different person, a different kind of... It's a different level that he's at 8 years later, where he's more of a retired person. Yes, he's doesn't still seems, evil.
It doesn't matter whether he's retired or not, but it doesn't even look, you know, they don't play him up to be this retired guy or to be this guy that was, you know, big back then. For all we know, he was retired from then as well. They made him look like he was old then as well. So it's not, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's the same guy. And I'm sure he pays off the same people. And I'm sure, you know, that team is just one of many. And all of that, you know?
I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree at this point.
Essentially.
That's it for this week. That's the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Wait, but we haven't come to a conclusion. Or have we come to a conclusion?
I think we have. You said you thought the movie was okay.
Yeah.
And I thought it was awesome. And we have the disagreement on the Newville character, as well as the reasons and 8 years lost of life.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, check it out if you haven't. But I guess if you're listening this far in, you have.
Or maybe you haven't and you just don't care about spoilers. Yeah. I know people like that. I'm very annoyed with them. You know why? Because they don't care about spoilers. They expect you not to care about spoilers.
And that's
so when
they
tell you about a movie, you'll know every single thing about that movie.
Especially when it has to do with people already being dead.
Oh, I hated that.
Alright, so I think we can close off here.
I suppose we can.
This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 14. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Douglas.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/gmanreviews. And you, Douglas?
Yeah, you can follow me. My name is DJR Lost His Name.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also get the episodes via the Podcast Alley. You can vote or review
whoa,
us there.
Whoa, what's the Podcast Alley?
It's one of these podcasting network websites where people can go and listen to the episodes over there and vote for us or review us or just, you know, whatever.
Have we gotten votes or reviews yet?
No.
Bastards.
We've gotten listens, but no votes.
Okay. And like, can you tell if somebody has listened fully, or you can only tell essentially almost like hits where they have at least started to listen to you?
Started.
Okay. So you're not able to tell how long they listened to you for?
No.
Okay.
Alright, what else? You can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com, any questions or feedback. Yeah, we generally broadcast every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on Ustream. We didn't this week because my internet was crap.
Yes.
And I didn't want to risk it.
But at the same time, I can tell you that it is actually now 11:25 where we are on Wednesday night. So we actually did record at least at the time that we said we should.
Good night and thanks for listening.